Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
And he is joined with some friends up north, including Dr. Kristen Wiley, who's back from God knows where. She's our favorite jet setter. And Kirk Bangstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC, who we always know where he is. He is wherever one goes to make trouble. And you'll notice that like every other Wednesday, the Up North News coffee mug has now been replaced by a Coke Zero so I can try to keep up with Kirk. Not that there's enough Adderall in the world that would enable me to do that, but I try. How are you, friends?
So good. So good to be back together with you guys.
You, well, since we gathered in my kitchen just 7 days ago, Kristen, you have been everything but elected Speaker of the House for all the time you spent in Washington, D.C.
I did see the Speaker of the House's office, though, when we did a U.S. Capitol tour. And we bumped into Sergeant Dunn, who you might know as one of the four police officers who testified in the January 6th hearings.
Yeah. But you just bumped into him, or was he like meeting with you to talk about like stuff? Like, how did you just bump into this guy? He's famous now.
We're at the U.S. Capitol. And that's where he works. But also, we had, so I had gone in the spring and I had met another. So my partner is a police officer. So I love to walk up to police officers and say, thank you for what you're doing, and just chat with them. And I was chatting with one of the U.S. police officers, the Capitol police officers, and he offered us a behind the scenes tour. Well, unfortunately, we weren't able to work it out, but my partner had brought like a patch and a coin to trade. And so while we were there doing our regular tour, we saw Sergeant Dunn, and we were so excited because to me, he is an incredible hero. He really, in this culture of police, he really put himself out there to do what he knew was the right thing. Yeah. But we saw him just kind of like a glancing blow. But then as we were leaving, he was actually stationed at the door. So it was fate. So we got to shake his hand and say thank you. He told us a few really compelling things about how he's received death threats. Mm-hmm. And how some of the legislators that he protects have said to him personally, thank you for what you're doing. But then they turn around and they vote against his best interests, and how painful that is to him.
From the law and order crowd, you know, all about supporting law enforcement and backing the badge. And it's all empty. It's people that would rather choose treason over reason, which takes us to what mm-hmm. Mr. Bangstead's been up to most recently, which would be some super PAC billboards going up across the northern part of the state that say, choose reason over treason. And you were able to put up one extra billboard just because of one special hater out
this
there.
This is so great.
Yeah, I mean, this just all unfolded over the last 2 days. I wrote my normal Sunday essay, and it said we need to choose reason over treason, and we had come up with that with our to accompany this extinct elephant beer that we made. That's a beer for moderate conservatives. Like, where are you? Are you extinct? Are you going to stand up for our country? And so this guy, the former head of the Marathon County Republican Party, Kevin Hermaning, wrote this despicable email back. I don't even know he was on our email list. Like, why would you be on my email list if you're a big, huge Republican?
He's
Trump
not a cult fan,
guy.
You're saying.
Yeah, so he wrote this disgusting email, and we just screenshotted it. And, you know, and it got under my skin. It kind of irritated me. So I was like, well, we're putting these signs up all over the Wow counties, the suburbs of Milwaukee, but what the heck? Like, this guy just inspired me to say, if anybody wants to throw some money up to put a sign in Wausau where this guy lives, he just inspired me to, you know, change a little, make lemons out of lemonade, or make lemonade out of lemons and change a little hate into love. And so
you put that up, and I just want to say, not that the guy needs more attention, but just so people understand that Kirk shared a post from Kevin Hermaning that said, quote, "You are such a filthy piece of garbage. I'm glad I'm the leader of my local school board and not somebody like you." Well, he seems nice. Not really. If you've heard him in past campaigns for office or past right-wing radio talk show appearances, no, not a nice guy. I mean, he got his, he rightfully got attention and gratitude for being one of the you know, hostages in Iran. That was a very, very long time ago. And, you know, now he's spending his time writing stuff like that to you. So you posted that and you put up a little challenge to your readers.
Yeah, but within, I was like, guys, this is kind of outside of where our strategy is, but within, if you guys can raise $2,000, which is the cost of one of these digital billboards by noon, then I'm gonna just going to put all that money towards putting up a sign in Wausau. And we raised it in about, holy cow, like about a half hour, you know.
That's amazing.
So like immediately, because these are digital signs, like you don't have to like paint, you know, paint them and like put them up. Like we just flipped a switch with the same company that we put this other sign up down in Milwaukee, and it just went up and it's huge. It's on like Highway 51 and Highway 29, and it's just
can you just ginormous. Imagine all of his friends and fellow Republicans, they see that and they're just like, shut up. Shut up.
It's like, thanks, Kevin. This is because of you, brother. Like,
and just... let's, as I've said before, advertising works, or it wouldn't be done. You know, you wouldn't have Coke and Pepsi and everybody doing it. So people say they're not swayed by political ads. Advertising has an impact. And I firmly believe when people see it framed this way, reason versus treason, mm-hmm. it's going to have an impact on people. So, you know, you done good. I know it was a little extra work for you yesterday, but you made it happen.
Well, we were all in Chicago. We're doing tastings in Chicago. So I'm sitting here furiously
And you did. You got it. Hold that thought. We will be back with more after this. You're up north.
Let me die.
Our new king of signs, Kirk Bangstad, is picking out music as he often does on Wednesdays. Appreciate that.
This one's
that
a good thing. One.
I didn't right? know it'd been remade. This is Tesla, you say?
Oh, I don't even know. I mean, I just was like, I know the song. I know I want to play it. I know exactly what bit I want to play. I don't even know if it's the right band. Is it not the right band?
I mean, I'm only familiar with the five-man electric band, but again, I'm
old. It's a remake, now. But it's good enough.
All right. Hey, works for us.
Well, so the reason I played that is that I wanted to say we put this sign up in Wausau, but the whole point of these, the motto, choose reason over treason, was to put in the most concentrated Republican areas of Wisconsin, because the goal is, and we put it in red, not blue, because we wanted to reach reasonable conservatives who, and there's seemingly 30% of them that don't believe in the big lie, that potentially have watched all these January 6 hearings. And I said, if we can just get a few of those folks to just this once, just this one election, even though we disagree with most of our policy, you know, positions, if they agree that we have to stand up for democracy, then maybe they can vote blue just this once. That's why we put them all in the wow counties, Washington County, Ozaukee County, yep. Waukesha. And that brings us to way closer to Senator Chris Larson, who is a senator from the Milwaukee area. Sorry, Senator, I don't know exactly where you are. I'm up north, brother.
You represent Milwaukee proper, right, Senator?
Sure. Yeah, half this district is half Milwaukee, half south suburbs. But gotcha. As the folks up north would call it, over in southeastern Wisconsin somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And you have been out in the western part of the state, helping candidates who are running for office. And so you were in the district of State Senator Jeff Smith, your colleague from the Eau Claire area. Again, one of the truly competitive districts left in legislative races. And so you really have what Kirk is talking about. You've had some up close contact with people who, you know, could go either way. They know their vote could sway, you know, how a state Senate race goes. What was that like? What are you hearing out there?
Yeah, I mean, we had some, I was out on boards all day yesterday with Jeff Smith of them when he took a break to go kick off early voting. So if folks are listening and they're in Wisconsin, you can early vote all across the state right now. Contact your city clerk. Head out there and knock your vote out. I think one of the biggest persuasion points about that.
Uh-oh, did we just lose this?
I think the Senator. We may have caught.
Once your mark voted, keeps it easy for you.
Sorry, Chris, we lost you in a dead spot there. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm testing the limits of of Wi-Fi here on 94 out in western Wisconsin. But yeah, Doors. What people are talking about out on Doors is, you know, frankly, they're getting overwhelmed by lots of spending, and it's hard for them to distinguish what's true from what is fiction. People are very concerned when you remind them about the overreach, power grab, that happens within the legislature. Of course, abortion is a top issue. And in Jeff Smith's area particularly, you have not one, but two candidates who are running as Republicans who were at the January 6th insurrection. So keeps it very clear for folks when you're talking to them about what's on the ballot and what's at risk this fall.
So, Senator, I specifically called your office yesterday and tried to get you on the show because, to me, this election is probably the most important one of my life. We always say that every 2 or 4 years, but I really do think that's true this time because I think the democracy of Wisconsin and America are at stake in this election. You know, I'm doing my best to put up signs to get people excited, but when I was thinking about the grassroots, how to get people motivated to march to the polls en masse, I was living in New York at the time. I was raised in Wisconsin, but I wasn't living here during the Act 10 years. And I was like, how do we get that back for this election? Because it was so, even though we lost the battle, I've never seen or witnessed something so electric in Wisconsin as the people protesting to stand up for state workers getting their collective bargaining rights or holding on to them. So you're particularly, you made some heroic moves 10, 12 years ago. And you actually led, you were the Senate Minority Leader at the time, and you led all the other Democratic senators to Illinois so that the Republicans couldn't get a quorum. Yeah, talk about that.
I appreciate the promotion. I was not the leader yet. I was actually just a brand new freshman senator, the only new senator that came in that cycle. It was Mark Miller who was the leader. But having been the newest and the youngest at the time, I think I was particularly knowledgeable about social media and making sure that we got our message out when we were gone. So I was on the media a little bit more than some of my other colleagues, but we were a part of that. We were united in making sure that the people of the state and frankly across the country knew this attack on workers. And as frustrating as it was that ultimately Republicans finally gave up the veneer of legitimacy of saying they had to do this because of the budget, they finally removed it from a finance bill and they just passed it of going after workers. Because they were sick of us being gone and protesters showing up. But it basically ripped the mask off of them that they were just doing this for political purposes. And basically, I think that along with a lot of other moments, but that one in particular, it shed light on the fact that Republicans were doing things just for power, for themselves, for wealthy interests, for corporations, that had no benefit at all for workers, for teachers, or for their constituents, right? For their neighbors. This was not going to save them money. That's not what it was about. It was just about weakening their political opponents and increasing their chances of picking up seats. And that, unfortunately, has continued now for 12 years. And every step of the way, we've had amazing grassroots response here in Wisconsin, but across the country of people recognizing, look, this is not just politics as usual, where one side says one thing on a policy, the other side says another thing on a policy. This is where one side has policies to tackle problems, and the other side just wants to smother out democracy and have power for themselves and make decision completely apart from political repercussions or completely apart from any acknowledgement of the people or granting of the power from the people. And that's, I think you're right that this is, democracy is on the ballot this cycle. This is so important. And I think the only way to be able to make sure that people recognize that is to have conversations with them, right? I think having this show, having people to realize this, but to recognize this for themselves and realize, look, you know, the people who were part of the insurrection in January 6th in some cases are on the ballot themselves, or they are actually supportive of that standpoint. And somebody who does not believe in democracy should not have a hand on the wheel in a democracy moving forward.
Boy, that's a quote right there. Like, I'm keeping that in my heart. Senator Larson, this is Dr. Kristen Lierley. I know that things have gotten worse. I mean, the Republicans are so focused on their power and their control, and they are literally saying and doing anything they can to hold on to that. But you, as someone who is essentially in a safe seat in Milwaukee, are traveling all around the state to get the word out, to do a lot of grassroots organizing, to encourage people who are registered to actually go out and get the vote out. What are you seeing as you're traveling across the state? And what are some of those moments that are really giving you hope?
Yeah, I think what's remarkable is it's good to see you. I can see you. You can't see me because I'm driving here, but good to see you. And thank you for your work. The exciting thing about it is, as much as we are tapped into this and realizing what's going on, what's remarkable about going out and talking to people on doors is how much people are so living their day-to-day lives and dealing with the problems that have been tossed on top of them and don't necessarily like make the connection for why that is, or seeing the line to follow of what they can do to actually change that for themselves or their families. And so being able to hear them, right, hear what they're saying, and then also to be able to talk them through about how things are the way that they are. And in many cases where people have not voted before, walking them through what these tremendous hurdles that are purposely put into place to make it harder for them to vote, to be able to overcome those and to be able to recognize the power that they have. And in a lot of cases, people it's addicting, right? Of recognizing, okay, I voted, what else can I do? Of how to be able to spread democracy and encourage other people to wake up to what's going on. That is a particular interest because there's a few topics, right? If you hit on the purposeful defunding of public education, I sit on the education committee with Jeff Smith, and so that one is important to both of us. But there's been a deliberate defunding of schools, attacking of teachers, because they don't believe in public institutions. And if you want to have a future kids, it's not a choice right now between, you know, Tony Evers. It's not a choice between people who have different ideas of how to fund schools and what they want to do. You have Tim Michaels is running for governor on a platform of saying it would be insanity to put more money into public schools, right? And does not believe that kids deserve access to a quality education. That wakes them up. You know, it's a clear contrast. It's not even close.
Well, it gets to the topic that we discussed earlier in the show about, as passionate as we are about the threats to democracy and about, you know, process, voters ultimately vote with, you know, their pocketbooks and what is affecting them. And so when you're talking about talking to voters about defunding their public schools, you know, that again takes the political realm and turns it into something very personal for them.
Yeah, and I think that's the important piece, right? Is you have to hear people where they are, because otherwise politics is like watching it's like watching a football game where you can cheer from the sidelines, but as much as we tell, you know, Aaron Rodgers he needs to try and get a fourth get a third down conversion, he's not really listening to us. In this, you can actually jump on the field and say, you know what, they might not be listening to me, and this is affecting my life. You can actually vote. You can actually encourage a candidate. You can actually get out there and run for yourself, right? Which is huge, which is where a lot of these candidates who've stepped out, knowing the uphill climb of gerrymandering, but also recognizing how important it is, right? One person in particular, Lou Ann Bird, who is running in the suburbs of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
This is a district
so
that people
great.
Have excluded. Yeah, and just ruthless enthusiasm and optimism, right? And she is just knocking on doors and knocking down walls.
She is.
Those
she
are the people
just
who are empowering.
She is an indefatigable ball of energy. And so we obviously are watching that very carefully. We are talking to Senator Chris Larson. We're going to take our break here, come back, talk more with the senator, and also talk about a big rally for reproductive freedom taking place tomorrow. That's all after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know where.
I am joined, as always, on Wednesdays at this hour by Kirk Bankston of the Monaco Brewing Company Super PAC and Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And our guest this hour is State Senator Chris Larson, who is been a busy person helping out campaigns. There are also events that need to be attended. We are going to talk during this segment about an early vote rally starting at 3:30 this afternoon down at UW-Madison. And then later we'll get to one that you can join nurses and healthcare workers tomorrow, also in Madison, at the Our Action for Reproductive Freedom. So there's no shortage of things to do, because there's also all the knocking on doors that we talked to with Robert Craig from Citizen Action in our last hour. This is just an extremely busy time of year, Senator. And we wouldn't say that if we didn't think that there was still ample time to reach people and let them know how much their vote is valued.
Yeah, very much so. As much as, you know, folks who are tuning in and watching this or listening, there are so many people who are just busy living their lives, and politics is just something in the corner of their eye. They don't realize how much it affects them. You know, and we kind of started. I know that Kirk invited me talking about, you know, any possible insights into produce activists and get people going. And the real thing is just to do what you can where you are with what you've got, right? And if that is just texting your friends and family, if that is just, you know, nudging friends on Facebook, but doing it as personal as you can, especially given that there's going to be giving room for feedback to hear people out. Right, that is going to have a huge impact, because so many people think, oh yeah, this is, you know, it's like how Kanye got his Adidas contract canceled, right? It's just something that happens, you know, that you can do something on Twitter. But this is, you know, people don't realize you have to actually go register and vote. There are hurdles up to walk them through that, and that you actually have to go out and vote, and you have to get other people to go do it if you're going to have a change, because otherwise it's not going to. It's not going to happen on its own. We have to do it ourselves.
But Senator, I want a magic bullet. I want to be able to come up with the motto that everybody sees on a billboard and just like says, oh yes, that's right.
Didn't you just
we
do
have
that?
To stand up for our country.
I think we've got our moment of self-aggrandizement for the day.
Maybe you're probably right, but I just want it to be easier, because I can't understand how so many people in Wisconsin like can't recognize that we've had all these January 6th hearings. We've had people that have went to the January 6th insurrection that are running for office. If they get into office, they're going to vote for laws that ignore the will of their neighbors and Wisconsinites. Like, isn't there's no magic bullet. You're telling me there's not, but there's no magic bullet to just wake them up and shake them to stop being part of this cult, is what I think, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't want to suspend your search for the Holy Grail prematurely. You should keep looking. But I mean, the you know, it, not to be cheesy and you know, rip off a chicken for the liberal soul, but that the answer lies within, right? Is for each person, you have to reach them where they are and recognize what turmoil they're going through in life. And then be able to walk them through and have that piece of self-discovery. Because as much as, you know, as much as January 6th is a punch to the gut to democracy, and it is, these guys have largely not been held accountable. But most people don't realize that because they haven't felt the repercussions of it. If these folks get into office or stay into office, then you're right, it's too late. But the only way that they realize that is just getting them talked through. So I, you know, hey man, my bump, I'm sure you guys have the same thing where your bumper is covered with stickers, and my gosh, if that was what was changing minds, and just my driving here would make the difference. But it's, it's the old person-to-person conversations that's going to do it. Billboards help, though, for sure. But having those conversations to say, hey, this is what this actually means.
And conversations that get back to something that Robert Craig and I talked about last hour and that I heard Dan Pfeiffer talking about recently, President Obama's former communications director. And that is, again, what are you doing for me? Whether it's pocketbook issues, kitchen table issues, it's not that they don't care, but they're part of their tuning out the dangers to democracy is a feeling that democracy isn't delivering for them, that something's not happening for them. So it's really incumbent, and I'm guessing you're a pro at this, knowing you as long as I have, of taking any of these conversations back to, here's what we have proposed. Here's what Jeff Smith has proposed. Here's what Governor Evers wants to do. And by the way, you know, if you vote, you kind of keep democracy going as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there is, you know, let's look at one of the biggest issues that's facing the electorate this time. And that is, you know, the suspension of women as being equals in our society because their reproductive freedom was just ripped up. Right. And when Tony Evers came out and said, look, we're going to put it to a referendum, and this is something where it's two-thirds, right? Two-thirds of the state. And that's not just Democrats. That's across the board. Democrats, independents, Republicans believe that abortion should be legal. And when this came up for a vote, the conversation never happened. That they came in from vacation, a taxpayer-funded 10-month vacation, and came in for less than 20 seconds each in the chamber. And you tell people that, and they're like, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like that's something that could actually happen. But if you let people know that and say, look, don't believe me, just check the news, you can see this for yourself, that they do not believe this, that there should be exemptions for, that they believe that this should be illegal and no exemptions for rape or incest, and are refusing to talk about it. And the only way to send that message, there will be no referendum on the ballot with that specifically listed. The referendum is voting those people out who refuse to listen, who refuse to do work. And you have to you have to let people know that. Otherwise, they think that until they try and figure out how to access this for themselves, and they find out that the closest clinic is somewhere in another state, they realize, wait a minute, it might have been too late.
You're so right. And as an abortion provider, or at least up until June 24th, I was an abortion provider here in Wisconsin. I can tell you that I had a lot of these conversations, and Republicans, Democrats, and independents are all in that population that includes one in four women in this country who will have an abortion in their lifetime. So this does not affect a small or particular percentage of the population. It ends up affecting all of us. Healthcare providers being criminalized for providing the standard of care takes away providers who work in rural communities, not just OBGYNs, but family medicine docs and lots of other folks. It is really going to have a profound impact on all of us, which brings me back to something that Pat said earlier. What is our democracy doing for me? And you're right, people do want to know that. But I think, and Senator Larson, you're good at this. You find out what people care about, and you turn the conversation to help them understand how their vote and how politics is personally affecting them and how they can be better represented. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's you always have to have I appreciate the compliments. I don't get there, but because a lot of it is, it's just common sense, and you just have to come at it with the sense of not thinking you know all the answers, but having the awe of actually hearing people of where they're coming from. And then, you know, you don't have to have all the answers. I used to think that when I first started in knocking on doors as an activist, that you had to know every policy and memorize the budget. But as long as if you have some humbleness and recognize, well, I might not know all the answers, but I can walk through with you. You know, there was somebody yesterday who had dropped, I was talking to, was registering, I was walking through a trailer park, and there were so many people who were out that I did what organizers are not supposed to do, which is I abandoned my script, and I abandoned the list of the people I was supposed to talk to, because there's so many people who are out enjoying the good weather. And I ran into somebody who had not voted, had not registered. He was in college and was just, he was trying to figure out how he was going to be able to pay for it. And was trying to figure out, he had bought into a little bit of the politics of resentment of, some of these kids, are getting their loans forgiven, and recognizing like, look, this is something that will be passed on to you, of making sure that you getting a better opportunity for yourself shouldn't cost you your future, of being able to own a home or to be able to buy a car or be able to start a family, which is unfortunately the case for too many people of that generation who are 19, 20 or in their 20s. And then connecting it and realize, recognizing that this is not the difference between there's two parties who have vastly different ideas, where one party and their mechanism is trying to sue to stop minor relief, where this is going to extinguish it for 20 million Americans is $10,000. But for many more, that is just being able to make up part of that difference. Mm-hmm. There's one party that wants to see that through and one that is suing and taking it to the U.S. Supreme Court to just try and stop that. Right. And getting somebody to realize that and saying, look, this is something you need to vote on. It's not just going to happen without you.
Okay, so I wanted to follow up because Pat announced it right in the beginning of this segment. But this show is all about lighting a spark and trying to get people to really get excited about this election and get people to vote. And so I just wanted to remind everybody that there's a huge rally happening today with Senator Elizabeth Warren, Tammy Baldwin, Evers, Call, Representative Pocan, Congressman Pocan. It's at 3:30 today, and I think you got to go to the Democratic Party website to sign up for that or RSVP for that. But that's a thing to cause excitement. Kristen, you're talking at this thing tomorrow. Tell us a little about what's going on there.
Yeah, so we're going to meet at noon at the Capitol over by the Old Fashioned, and it is a giant group of healthcare providers led by the nurses. I always love hanging out with my colleagues, the nurses. So we're going to talk about reproductive rights, and we're going to march over to the Republican office and just kind of let them know that we mean business.
And then, Senator Larson, what's going on with former President Obama in Milwaukee?
Yeah, there's this young political upstart named Barack Obama who's coming to town.
That young man's got a future, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you may not have heard of him. I think he's got a future in the party. If you want to see him, it's the one. Yes, you have to go to the Democratic Party website. Doors open at 12:45, which I encourage. Or shuttle starts at 12:45. Doors open at 1:00. At Bradley Tech in Milwaukee, and then the speaking starts at 3:30. If people are interested, I recognize there might be more than a few people who are interested in coming to this. So making sure you give yourself time to get there, and it's not just you standing around. There's usually this is a chance to actually it's a big group therapy session. We're able to talk to other people who are out there and hearing what's going on in other parts of the community. So, and then being able to get to hear from Barack Obama.
So Senator Larson, these rallies are all happening, to kind of wind out and start where, end up where we started. You did this 12 years ago in Act 10. Do you think it was just a group therapy session, or do you think getting together with other people and just being able to just kind of let your anger out in a positive way in protest, does that catch fire for other people who aren't at those rallies through the news or people coming back from a rally all energized? I mean, what can that do for this election on November 8th?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge, and I think there's a lot to it, right? And I think if we can translate that anger, that frustration, or that in some cases that overwhelming anxiety into action, into doing something, and realizing this isn't, I hate to return to the analogy, this isn't watching, the Packers where you just feel helpless, wondering what the heck is going on. But this is something where you can actually take part and have an impact on the outcome. And that I feel like is the great part of progressive organizing, is that this is not a just a very exclusive club of people that you can produce the power yourself by just getting out there and talking to people. Mm-hmm. And there's, of course, campaigns all over the place that you can be a part of, but just doing it, you know, recognizing you're not going to know everything, but get behind a local candidate, get behind a major candidate, and do what you can and translate that power into change.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Senator Chris Larson, thanks so much. Safe travels. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much. Keep up the good work, guys.
All right. We'll be back to wrap up this hour's conversation next. You're up north.
I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Just take a pebble and cast it to the sea. Then watch the ripples that unfold into me. My face.
Come for the music, stay for the interpretive dance. If you're watching Kirk and Kristen do what could only be called dry synchronized swimming in the Zoom boxes here. We'll get to why Just Take a Pebble was the song in just a minute. But again, just one more time to talk about the two different rallies that are going on. The one today is at the UW-Madison campus at 3:30. That's the one with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, Governor Evers, Attorney General Call, and more. So again, that's something you would register for at wisdems.org, which is the Wisconsin State Party website. And then tomorrow's is near the Capitol, by the old-fashioned restaurant there at the Capitol Square. And that starts at noon tomorrow. And again, now this one's through SEIU. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you sign up at through the wisdems.org or not. I got it through their Mobilize website. So you might have to do a little digging around, but it's definitely worth your while to hear Kristen speak at this event tomorrow. And then next week, I think, since we didn't have time today, remember last week we talked about Kristen being a mascot all through college and stories about that? We just learned over this break that Kirk Bankstead was a camp counselor. So we are going to hop in the Wayback Machine next week and explore that more in depth. But let's turn to Kirk and Kristen's closing sermon instead, which takes us back to our song about pebbles.
Set us up, Kirk.
So this, I talked to Kristen, and I want her to read this kind of short passage because her voice is much more comforting than mine, and it's a very comforting passage.
Says the opera singer.
But back in the day, you know, when we tried to teach leadership skills to kids in junior high and high school, we always would read this little passage called "Drop a Pebble in the Water," and I thought it was perfect for this show because it talks about how one person can make a big difference if they just drop a pebble in the water and see the ripples kind of flow to everyone else.
Spoiler alert, don't give it away.
Kristen, give it to us. Lay it out for us.
All right. Drop a pebble in the water. Just a splash and it is gone. But there's 50 ripples circling on and on. Spreading from the center, flowing on out to the sea. And there is no way of telling where the end is going to be. Drop a pebble in the water. In a minute, you forget. But there's little waves a-flowing, and there's ripples circling yet. And those little waves a-flowing to a great big wave have grown. You've disturbed a mighty river just by dropping in a stone. You're disturbing a mighty river, Kirk.
One person, you know, I understand what Senator Larson is saying, and it works in every single kind of context. One person knocks on a door, they change one person's mind. Biden won by 20,000 votes 2 years ago out of 5 million people in Wisconsin. You make one phone call, you talk to your neighbor, you go to a rally and you get excited and you bring that home and you just have that extra energy of love and kindness that might change somebody who might have voted Republican before, but seeing that hate and seeing that anger and doesn't want to be a part of that anymore. And it gets down to just your soul at some point and just trying to just impart goodness on your neighbor, you know, and I'm trying to do that. But so I'm hoping that everybody in Wisconsin that cares can be that pebble that, you know, causes a wave, a blue wave in Wisconsin in a couple of weeks.
I don't know that I'd refer to Kristen as a pebble. She is making so many appearances and doing so many things. She's more like buckshot. I mean, she's just she's dropping so many things in the water at once here, and thankfully so. I mean,
whatever it takes, you know, like every conversation you have is an opportunity to listen, to hear, to understand what other people are dealing with. I'm not a firefighter. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a stay-at-home mom, but all of these people are in my world and they're all worried about different things. So to be able to hear them and acknowledge what they're going through and to say to them, we can do better, but we have to do it together, and inspire them to then pass it along to other people. This is all about group effort. It's all about the team. And that's what we're doing today.
Let's and that we and really are creating a more of a ripple with our closing note, which is a special announcement that we are increasing the reach of our messaging up north by Woo-hoo! Moving this show to 6 to 8 in the morning, starting Monday, on radio stations all up and down the Civic Media Network across the state. But that also means that since there's no way I'm going to get Kirk Bankston to wake up at 6 a.m., Kirk and Kristen are returning to the weekly Wednesday 7 p.m. slot as well, which was started simply to create a platform like this. Well, now this platform is going statewide in the early mornings, but you're going to maintain the weekly one at night. And Kirk, it's basically, it's like, we're, it sounds like the you know, a breakup. It's not. It's like, here we go. We're doubling in size here in terms of what we're doing with the reach that we're providing. And buddy, I was happy to help on Wednesday nights, but boy, if you ain't ready to get out of the nest at this point and fly, I don't know when you will. You magnificent bird, you.
Oh. No, Pat, you're, we started this thing maybe now 2 years ago. Now you're statewide in the mornings, and this show is going to be statewide one night a week. We were never statewide. Civic Media has done amazing things. They've got like 9 stations now. I'm excited. We might see a little less of each other, but I'm sure we're going to see plenty of each other if I can keep you up at night, if you're going to be waking up at like 5 in the morning. But I'm going to see more. I'm sure it's not going to be the end of us being together.
Oh, no. Far from it. Like I said, it's going to be a doubling up where I'm going to tape segments with you. You guys are going to tape segments with me. In fact, I'm taping a segment with Kristen coming up a bit here with another story that's in the news. So it's going to be really fun, Kirk, to watch you and me continue to fight over Kristen. And this time we each have respective platforms to do it. And somewhere in there, between that and all the appearances and such, you might actually get some work done along the way too.
Yeah, we're raking in the cash doing all this stuff on the radio.
Yeah, right. That's it.
We do it for love.
We do it for love.
You did it for love and a free breakfast once in Chippewa Falls. That's really good. That's all we had to offer you.
So and a Wednesday night beer.
Oh, now we get to drink again for because it's time appropriate to have a beer at 7 o'clock.
That was really frowned upon at 10 o'clock in the morning, at least publicly. Wink. So, Kirk, Kristen, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you in some way, shape, or form in 2 different times next week. That'll be fun. All right, gang, you can follow me on Facebook. Search for Pat Kreitlow Up North. On Twitter and Instagram, Pat Kreitlow. Follow our work at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, or on social media, upnorthnewswi. And then join me back here tomorrow morning at 8 for just a couple more days before the big move. Have a great day, everyone.